School PR professionals spend a few weeks a year participating in professional development and networking, if they're lucky. We use this time to connect through conversation and shared experiences. Conversation is one of the best parts of our jobs, but then we go back to our daily work and the time for connection begins to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. During our time together, our goal is to continue a sense of collaboration and shared conversation throughout the whole year.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and times of celebration and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast gives us the chance to get to know each other better by sharing our passions about furthering education one story at a time.
Whether you are listening on your morning commute or winding down after work, we are so glad you're here and look forward to learning alongside you today. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of School PR Happy Hour. Today, I am so excited to interview Dirk Tedman and Grace Becker from Eden Prairie Schools in Minnesota. On this episode, we are talking about referendums. Whether you are currently going through one, about to go through one, or just listening for ways to engage with your community, I have a feeling you are going to gain a lot of knowledge from this episode. I cannot wait for you to learn from them with me. Let's dive in.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill at Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, analytics, and archival easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact me or the rest of our team at classintercom.com.
We are very excited to welcome some new guests with us today. So School PR Happy Hour crew, please join me in welcoming Dirk and Grace from Eden Prairie School District in Minnesota. So Dirk and Grace, we're going to start off with having you both introduce yourselves to our crew.
Great. Thanks, Becca. And we're so excited to be here. My name's Grace Becker. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications in Eden Prairie Schools. I've been in Eden Prairie about going on two and a half years now, shortly. And before that, I started in Osseo Area Schools, which is up in the northwest suburbs of Minneapolis. And I was there for about a year and a half before coming to this wonderful district that I'm so glad to be a part of.
I am Dirk Tedman. I'm our Executive Director of Marketing and Communications in Eden Prairie Schools. I've been in this role just shy of 2 years. And prior to that, I was at the College of Education and Human Development at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis Public Schools. And prior to that, I had another life on the East Coast. but I'm really excited to be here as well. You know, School PR Happy Hour is the talk of the town and podcast for School PR, and it's an honor to be a part of this.
Well, we are very excited to have you. And I was just mentioning to you both that when we kind of started planning for the season for School PR Happy Hour this year, one of the topics we definitely wanted to make sure we had as an episode was referendums. So I had done a little digging on INSPRA's website and I saw your gold medallion award for your referendum campaign. And I was excited to reach out and I'm glad that it worked out that we were able to have you both on for this episode. So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your school district, kind of the demographics, your students, where you're at, all that good stuff?
Sure. So Eden Prairie Schools is in the southwest suburbs of Minneapolis, and we serve almost 9,000 students. And all of our students are Eagles, which we love. They all ladder from our elementary schools up to one middle school and one high school. And then students who are learning online as well in our K-12 statewide online school are also Eagles. So there's very much a sense of pride across the community and unity. And that is a sense of pride that has gone on now for over 100 years. This year, we're celebrating our 100th year of Inspiring Each. Inspiring Each is our district mission. So we're having wonderful celebrations this year to celebrate our centennial and look forward to the future. And there's been huge change over those 100 years, not just in the things you might expect, like the way that students get to school and learn, but also in the demographics of Eden Prairie. Within even the last 20 years, there's been a huge change and a real benefit to the community as we've welcomed people in from outside of Minnesota. We have many immigrants to this area and families who are here because of work visas or making Eden Prairie their home of choice. And so that's been a huge benefit to this community. And we serve, like I said, almost 9,000 students. About 50% of our students are students of color. They speak more than 60 languages at home, our students do. And so that's just such a huge benefit to this community. And it's so diverse and really just a great place to be with a real sense of community pride. Dirk, anything you would add that's relevant for listeners to know?
I think one thing that is helpful and that we don't take for granted at all is that Eden Prairie School District, we go by Eden Prairie Schools, but the school district is contiguous almost entirely with the city of Eden Prairie. There's like 10 homes that are in a neighboring district. So that sense of community pride that Grace is describing is really palpable. And it also helps with us because there's a shared identity and investment in our schools by the community because it is their hometown school district.
I love that. So it really gives that community feel just off the bat because it is so ingrained in your communities, which is great. Awesome. And we're going to next go into kind of just dive right into the referendum campaign. And if you want to kind of give us the overview on that, then we'll kind of break down some of the parts of it.
Grace and I are playing this game of trying to read each other's eyes of who's going to talk first. I'll let her go because she actually was here at the start of the campaign. I came in partway through as a new hire to the district, which is an interesting challenge that we'll talk about as we go more into this. But she can give the lay of the land, I think, really well.
Okay.
Thanks, Dirk. So we were in a place where we had our operating and technology levies both expiring within the coming 2 or so years. And so the board really, I think, was very proactive in realizing that that was coming soon and knowing that they would need to be going out to the community and understanding what the level of support was for a potential. Ultimately, I think really spurred them to do that is when they did community engagement sessions and listening and a third party survey too, they really saw that the community, even in spite of some challenges, of course, over the last couple of years and the pandemic years, the community still was just hugely, hugely supportive of our schools. We were seeing numbers as far as trust in the school board to do what was right for students, and a sense of really getting a great value from the schools in the 90s, high 90s, 97, 98, 99%. So they knew there was a real groundswell of support for schools. And in those same surveys, they would ask, are you open to, or would you support a tax increase in order to continue supporting the schools? And they would see responses to that too, that were generally very supportive. Dirk probably remembers the specifics a little better than I do, but 60-70% yes. So we knew that there was sort of an openness to that, and the community in general had been supportive of referendums, though not always. We had had a referendum about 9 or 10 years earlier that they had gone out to the community and proposed something, and the first time it did not pass. So we weren't coming in from a place of consistent passage, but there had been support ongoingly for schools, and we felt we were well positioned to move forward and give that opportunity for the community to decide whether it was going to make that investment in our schools moving forward.
I think that an important piece of that story too is the fact that just a few years prior, the district had gone to voters seeking approval for a pretty extensive bond for renovations in the district, particularly the middle school. And so that was something that was fresh on people's minds as well, both in the community and in the district, is although there's this really great support for our schools and a willingness to invest in them, how far can we push that before people say they've had enough, knowing that they had just made a multi-million dollar investment for those bonding upgrades or facility upgrades.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a big win in itself, to already have that type of appreciation for the school district, to have that backing in the community. I think that's one of the biggest pieces of a referendum, is having that trust already built. Are there things that you felt your district did prior to even needing to go out to the community to ask for the referendum that helped to build trust within your community?
Yes, I definitely think so. And two I would point to. The first one would be, Dirk had mentioned that 2019 referendum that made huge improvements at our middle school possible. And we've heard multiple times that best practice is you're either going out for a referendum right now or you're preparing for the next one. And I think they did a great job of keeping that top of mind. And so as you drive up the driveway to the middle school, there's a sign right by the driveway that says, thank you, voters, for approving the 2019 referendum. They are reminded every time they come to this beautiful building that it was made possible by our community. And there was a lot of gratitude that was expressed every time that building was spoken about. It was very much identified as having been possible because of the support of the community. And I think that really primed the community with gratitude. And that's one of the best practices that we have been sharing too, as we are moving forward from our own referendum and making sure that that's a priority. And the second one would be, I would say that the district handled COVID-19 in a way that built a lot of trust with our community. And you heard Dirk say earlier that it's a very supportive community, and we've got folks really on both sides of the aisle. We talk about ourselves as being a purple district. There are, it's a very politically diverse area, as well as all the other ways in which it's diverse. And so we fortunately were still seeing numbers of community approval coming out of the pandemic that really were not seen in other districts. And people appreciated how quickly we were able to get students back learning in person while also giving families who preferred an online, more distanced approach the opportunity to do that with an excellent, high quality educational option. And I think people were coming into this because of those actions and others, ready to be supportive of schools.
That's amazing. That, I mean, like I said, the building of the trust, I think, is a big part of a referendum. And in my district, we went out to referendum in, we went for the November 22. vote, and we passed ours as well, but it had been 34 years since they had passed a referendum. And just before COVID, they had gone out. It was a different board, a different administration that we have currently and that we had when we went out in 2022. But essentially, we heard from the community, they were kind of in a place where they said, we know that there's stuff we need done, but not this plan. The plan that you propose is not the one that we want to approve. Actually, our current board president was a part of that group that said, not this plan. She said, we support the district, but this is not a plan that I can get behind. She said that she had gone to multiple meetings, and at each meeting, they had kind of talked about different things, or they couldn't answer questions fully. And so she thought, you know, that was kind of a red flag to her. She said, if it was a plan where I understood where my money was going and it was consistent at each meeting, it was maybe something that I could get behind. But she then, which I have a lot of respect for, because she was somebody that did not kind of appreciate that the plan was not put into place very well, she took it upon herself to join our Board of Education and has now become our president of our board. So it's cool that she's kind of gotten to be from that like opposition side of the previous referendum and now is somebody that has helped push forward a plan that we felt was much better put together and a plan that the community could approve. And we were actually able to look at, I found some of the feedback that people had given about the plan that they had done before COVID, and we're kind of able to pull from some of that. So we knew they needed more consistency with the plan. So we had different things where we have 20 schools and we had a full chart that showed everything that was going to happen at each of the schools. But I think, yeah, to that point, it's hard to build back that trust, right? It's hard to kind of share out, I know, the last time we went out for a referendum, it was not approved. And we understand why, because we looked at that data and we know what our community is looking for now. So having that trust is something that is so vital to have in place even before you go out. So that's awesome that you guys had all of those things kind of in place already. And I love the idea of having that sign outside of a new feature or a new structure to say, you know, thank you to our community. And that's something I'll have to think about as we roll out some of our new additions in the 24-25 school year.
Definitely, Becca. And I think what you're highlighting there is so important, that research and planning piece. And when we think about how our board was looking at this, these levies were not going to expire until 2024 and 2025, respectively. But they started this process in 2021. They were being intentionally really proactive, and that gave them a longer runway to make sure they had ongoing touch points with the community and were able to understand, as you said, where does the community sit and what are they hoping for from us?
I just want to echo that too. I think that as people think about referendums in their school districts, that this point about the ongoing engagement with your community cannot be underscored enough. As a parent, and having had parents, as we all do, know what it's like when your kids just see you as an ATM and they're coming to ask for money. And the same thing is true of our community. They don't want you to just be coming out with the ask and then they don't hear from you for 3 or 5 or 34 years until you're coming out to ask again. They really want to know, how is my money being used? Why is this of value? What is it that you're doing to improve our community through the use of these taxpayer dollars? And I think that that's something we've been really intentional about in Eden Prairie Schools, is what is that ongoing engagement, whether it's the sign out front of the middle school, or like this last year after our referendum, we did a community year-long engagement process around our strategic plan. This year, we're doing a year-long campaign of 100 years of inspiring age. Next year, we're doing a year-long engagement around people's vision for what academics should be in Eden Prairie Schools and the skills students will need 10 years from now. And so we're being intentional about what is the thing that's connecting us between our asks, so that it's not just a six-week campaign to run a referendum, but that you always have a reason to be involved in Eden Prairie Schools.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the different campaigns that you already have lined up and you know what you're going to be focusing on. I think that helps to allow you to be a little bit more strategic with it too, which is awesome. What was something that you both learned while you were going through the referendum process? I know for me, this was the first one that I had gone through, so I feel like I learned a lot, but I want to hear from you guys. What was something you learned?
So as Dirk said, I was here when the board voted to put this on the ballot, and I was only a year and a half into school PR, but I was, you know, 23 going on 35 and thought I had this all said and it was fine and I was going to be able to be excellent counsel on this, even though I had never experienced it, didn't know anything about it. And so what I would stress is the importance of asking for help. And I think that can mean a lot of different things. It's, I think, indicative of the investment that is really needed into this process. So whether that means for you, if you are a one-person comm shop, this is a huge, huge project in addition to all of the great and important work you do every day. And so that might mean you have to go to your superintendent and say, if we want to do this, do it well and do it in a way that is going to help us reach each taxpayer so they are well informed, I need additional support. We need to tap potentially an agency that has some experience in this area or a freelancer who can come in and help with some of the strategy. That's absolutely worth doing. And if you're a team, leaning on others, one of the things that we really were intentional about is leaning on our schools as communications ambassadors and empowering them to be the ones helping to inform others and amplifying the work that we were doing to inform the community as part of some referendum site teams. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I think that's really important to realize this is a unique thing in school PR, mm-hmm. right? It takes unique skills and unique strategy. And it's something you have to learn about. And you're not just naturally, you are naturally equipped to do it well in a lot of ways. But help can really equip you to find success in it.
Yeah, I think one of the things I learned is I was really grateful to have been through referendums before I joined an Eden Prairie Schools. That experience is invaluable. And you just learn things. Like there's a community mailer that's required to go out by state statute in Minnesota. And Grace is brilliant and amazing and so smart. And she had no idea what was required to be in that or what it had involved to have to send that out or what were the restrictions on that. And that was just knowledge that I could bring. The other thing I would say I learned is it's really, really fun to start a referendum campaign in a district when you begin employment in August and you're going out for a vote in November. Yeah. That's really good. And I highly recommend it to everybody.
We're highly sarcastic on this team, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
But in all reality, I think one of the things that I did learn out of that process is just one, it's never too late to begin thinking about your strategy in new and different ways. And two, just the critical importance of implementing that RPI process of research, planning, implementation, and evaluation in all of your work, all of the time, so that it's top of mind and that it's not just a one and done. One of the best things that happened out of our campaign, and I think one of the reasons that it was successful, was we made sure that we had continuous evaluation throughout our referendum. We had a lot of really great strategies and objectives we were trying to reach, and we were like feeling like we were killing it with all these amazing things we're doing, and we'll talk about some of those specifically in a few minutes probably here, but we got halfway through the referendum. You know, we're about 6 weeks, two months out from the vote, feeling really good about where things are at. And then we had intentionally built in a mid-campaign check-in with a third-party survey company just to make sure that our gut was right about where things were at. And because we felt that there was some risk here that we had just been out to the community 3 years prior with a big ask. And what that survey showed us is we weren't killing it in the way that we thought we were. Awareness had not spread in the way that we would have hoped. This close to the election and with all the work that had been done. And that was crucial data for us to be able to pivot our campaign and try some new strategies and tactics to reach people in a new way. Because what that data also revealed was the sentiment was waning a little bit. Like those who had strongly supported had moved to support. And that wasn't ground we wanted to keep losing as we went forward in this campaign. And of course, you know, we in school districts aren't advocating for people to vote for or against. We're just talking about the benefits and that they should get out and vote. But having that data and knowing what the sentiment change had been allowed us to like make sure we were really effectively telling the story of what it meant to have this money versus what it meant to not have this money.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And mentioning your legal things that you need to do, Minnesota, I think that was one of the things that I learned a lot about, is that there are different legal requirements for referendums in your state, and they are different in different states. So I find that very interesting too, as I've talked to some friends, if I, you know, I reached out to friends who had been through it as well. And it was interesting to me to learn that kind of different states have different rules too. And I know you mentioned kind of asking for help. My district had partnered with an agency that kind of helped with referendums. And some of the things they did was helping us understand even just our political demographics. We serve all or part of 7 communities, and our communities are pretty different from one to the other. So just having kind of even that help, I thought was immensely supportive and for us to be able to understand our community better than we maybe even had before. So did you guys work with any outside organizations to support the work of your referendum?
I was looking at Grace because she was here for that, but I can take it. We were fortunate to have some support from an agency to do some of the graphic design work on the campaign and some other tasks that we would assign. And that was really beneficial because we were so busy with all the other tactics and strategy behind the campaign that having some of that tactical implementations to really be thoughtful about the steps we were taking.
Hi friends, this is Kara Zachney, and I'm a design specialist for CISO Communications. We are so excited to be a part of the School PR Happy Hour family, and we hope you learn as much from this show as we do. My role at CISO is to help our clients with their visual presence. It doesn't matter if we're working on a print mailer for an enrollment marketing campaign, custom animations for a referendum video, elements to help your website pop, or even creating a completely new visual brand for your favorite school PR podcast. We love working through the creative process and making your brand stand out. We have a talented team of creative pros who are eager to walk alongside you and help you in any way possible. At CISO Communications, we partner with districts to think about their communications strategically. If your school or district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. CISO Communications is a division of CISO, which stands for Center for Effective School Operations, which also supports schools with transportation, HR, finance, and technology. Visit thecso.com and connect with us today. And be sure to follow us on our social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
And what is some advice that you would share with our other school PR friends whose districts might be going out for a referendum in the future?
Well, we have 10 tips for a winning referendum that we've been taking around as a presentation. And we've had the opportunity to present to superintendents from across the state and school board members from across the state to share some of these tips. And we, I think, were able to do a lot of things just by virtue of our district and how strong our branding is here and some of our financial resources that are a little bit flashier and a bigger investment to get some payoff. But a lot of our takeaways are really things that can be used regardless of where you are and what resources you have available to you. And the first one I would say is the rule of 7. And for those of us who have gone through maybe public relations or communications education, you are probably familiar with this, but the rule of seven refers to the concept that a person has to hear something seven different times in seven different ways before they take action on it. And for you, as a communications professional who's running a referendum, you probably feel like, I don't want to say the word lovey one more time. I honestly might puke, but that might be the time at which your community has actually heard that you are even going out for a referendum. So think about that. How often and in what different ways are you making sure your community knows that this will be on the ballot?
I think another tip that we give people is to really center your messaging around students and the impact on students. I think what happens to a lot of school communicators is we are trying to explain the value proposition, and we'll say things like, this levy will allow the district to offer competitive pay for teachers or maintain our low class sizes, which are helpful because it's factual and it tells you what's going on. Your investment in our schools helps us inspire our students by attracting and retaining the best teachers and staff. It's just a much different hit and an emotional appeal when you have that student focus and that student-centered language as the core that you wrap everything else around. And I think that that was something we were really intentional about when we were trying to make sure that the community had the information they needed. Another one that I would say that we were really intentional about was thinking about the user experience through every part of this process. So whether that was in the design of the pieces we were putting together and the colors we used to how things showed up in their mailbox, we prioritized that. So, for example, in Eden Prairie Schools, our colors are black and red. And if you know anything about finances, black is good and red is bad, and red is our primary color. And so we were intentional in our materials about leveraging our secondary brand colors and doing a lot of green just to think about investment and growth and stability, and not having that red, which people could make assumptions that things aren't going well financially, just that implicit bias that happens that we don't even think about. We also were really intentional about knowing we're trying to communicate with busy people who have busy lives and are inundated with information each day. And so for things like our mailer, one of the things that we know is that mail is delivered to your household address up in your mailbox. If you receive mail in a mailbox or in an apartment mailbox, because that's how it gets sorted and delivered by the postal workers. So we were intentional about putting all of the information you needed to make a vote on that page with the address. So it gave you the location, the time, what it was for, and a high level impact statement right there. So that if all you did was look at it and throw it in recycling, you had at least gotten the most key messages we could offer you. And then each part, if you chose to open it further, we made sure the next most important information was there. And then if you chose to open it even further is where we would have the most in-depth information. And knowing that you're somebody who's highly likely to be engaged because you went through that level of effort, some more emotional appeals about involvement in other ways of helping share information or spread word in your community with the people you have connection to. So I think that focus on showing rather than telling our story and the user experience was also a tip that we really highly recommend.
And Dirk and I have joked as we've gone and done this presentation that if we had a couple $100,000 for every time we use the word intentional in this presentation, we might never have to go out for a referendum ever again. And I hope that that shows that really there was a lot of deep strategy behind this. I mean, this was not throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping that it stuck. We were being specific and strategic with each of the tactics that we chose. And one thing you heard Dirk say is the importance of telling your story. And there's a lot of conventional wisdom from what I have found around referendums. And well, maybe you should just only talk to your families and don't tell anybody else that you're trying to go out for a referendum because then they'll come vote against you. And we felt it was more important for us to tell our story because if you don't tell your story, someone else will. So you want to have control of the understanding in the community of why this is important. And if you are sending things like that required mailer that Dirk talked about, that only really has to be sent as 8-point text as 8-point text, you're not going to have people finding interest in that and engaging with it and learning more. So we're not afraid to push boundaries and do things in new and different ways, like making that required mailer more of an informational piece that was bright and colorful and interesting to look at, still gave all of the required information and was still informative for community members, but was something they wouldn't just take and throw in the recycling, which sometimes is advice that you hear. And certainly it depends on your community, but that was one example of something that we did that, knowing our community, we felt it's really important that everyone knows about this. And we elevated that by communicating and connecting with our likely opponents, people who, just because of the nature of their connections with our schools, would be less likely to be supportive. And one of those examples is we connected specifically with members of our community who don't have students in our schools by emphasizing to them that schools don't only benefit the kids who are there and the families who are there at that minute. Our strong schools create strong communities. That was the language that we used. And we reinforced for people that when you have strong schools in your community, that increases your home values, that increases community employment levels, and it increases the safety of your community. So we spoke to those people through things like a video that featured local realtors explaining to homeowners in the area why it was so important that our schools were well supported and well financed. And that really went a long way for us. We also had board members who had really strong connections with more conservative members of our community who might be inclined to not be as interested in to support this or interested in supporting it. And they were speaking to them ongoingly about, this is why I personally made the decision that this should be on the ballot. This is why we think it's time to be going out to the community and asking them to consider reinvesting. So really connect with your likely opponents. We would caution you against taking that advice of only talk to the people that you think are going to help you win and be quiet for everybody else, because it won't be quiet for them. They will hear a different story than you hope they're going to hear.
Yeah, I agree with you. We have in my communities, because as I mentioned, we serve all or part of 7 communities in our area. And I think the number was something around 80% of our residents that are taxpayers in our communities do not have kids in our district. So we knew to that point that we could not just communicate with our families. And we had also tried to push the idea of, I know full day kindergarten isn't going to benefit you, but we've heard from our local realtors that when they're selling houses, they have families specifically ask for communities that have full day kindergarten already. So again, to your point, it might not impact your children, but it might impact you as you go to sell your house. So this is something that is beneficial for the whole community.
I think that that's a really key part of our strategy too in this campaign that made it so successful, was we not only thought about the whole community, but we involved the whole community. And that's another one of our tips, is to multiply your impact by involving others. And for us, that was at every level. We had our schools each have a referendum campaign team where they thought about, what does this look like for our school community specifically? What is the direct impact we would see out of this? And what is the way, knowing our community, that they want to receive information? For some schools, it was hosting an information session at conferences when families were there. For others, it was handing a flyer through the window at pickup for students. And each school really tried to decide what it was that would be most effective in their unique community. And I think another way was, we reached out to local businesses and nonprofits to help spread word, and also reached out to local churches and mosques and temples and said, hey, we're not asking you to take a side on this, but just let people know an election is happening. Consider sharing it in your church newsletter or in a sermon or in the bulletin. And a surprising number were actually willing to do that And we think that like that approach of using the community, working in partnership with the community, really helped amplify the efforts that we were taking at the district level to get word out about this referendum as well.
I love it. And that's, yeah, I think just engaging with the community is so important. We did a lot of work just try to be out in the community. And since we've passed the referendum, we've tried to kind of keep up that presence in the community because, to your point, I think you said in the beginning, you don't want to be just out in the community or sharing information when it's time to go to referendum. You want to make sure that you're out in the community at all times. So I love all that advice. And
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Becca.
You're good.
That's absolutely true, Becca. And I think we are really taking that and running with it because we ran right alongside our referendum campaign, an Inspired to Vote campaign, which was focused not on that specific referendum or those specific ballot questions, but general voting and why we're encouraging our community members to go vote. And that's perfectly appropriate for a school district to do, right? That's your civic ability, is to go make your voice heard. And so we have banners that were in front of each of our schools that said, not vote on November 8th, but inspired to vote. We want you to remember ongoingly that it's important to vote. And we will have those continuously out in front of our schools throughout the coming years when it's election time, regardless of whether we have questions on the ballot.
I think another tip that we just want to give people is to think outside the box. And this is kind of a compilation of a lot of the tips that we're giving. But one thing that I really encourage every school district to do is to work with your local elections office and find out where on the ballot your questions are going to be. Because one of the things that we know is people are less likely to turn over their ballot and go to the second page if your questions are only things on there or if it's with a bunch of judges running unopposed. And so we were strategic about finding out, where is the placement of our questions? Do we need to tell people to turn over the ballot and make that one of the key messages that we use or not? Thankfully, we didn't. But what we did do is, in that mailer we sent to all families, showed exactly where on the ballot the questions would be in the lower right-hand corner, to blow up the text so they could read it exactly as they would read it in the ballot box. And to make it as easy as possible for that connection to be there, so that what I've seen is what I experience. And when I go to vote, nothing is surprising to me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We had some staff who had volunteered because we were off on election day to be at polling places, just to remind people, because we, to that point, we had heard that school districts were last on the ballot. So we were kind of out there, and that's one of the things I said, hey, just want to remind you, we're on there, we're going to be last, so please don't forget about us. Either way you're voting, we just want to make sure that you are aware and you're able to cast your vote to be able to do that. So that's a really good point too. And I think something that, as somebody that was new to doing a referendum, I might not have known, but luckily we had some of that referendum support. So we were able to inform people of that. So that's awesome. And what's something that you guys would do differently if you needed to go out to referendum again?
Nothing. Our campaign was totally perfect. What are you talking about? No, of course, there's something to learn in that evaluation phase from everything that you do. And one of our biggest takeaways was, we were a very small team at that time, and we've been fortunate to gain a lot of investment in our team and growth since then. But at that time, there were only three of us, which for a lot of people is like, oh my God, you have three people. That's incredible. I'm one. But we were just the two of us plus our awesome multimedia storyteller who is focused on photo and video. So he wasn't as involved in this process. And so those site teams were really, really key in our involvement with the community. And I think had we had a little bit more, just all the hours in the world to dedicate to this, right, we would have invested in more intentional, ongoing, regular check-ins with those site teams to really say, what exactly did you do this week to help to share this message with the community? We had site teams who were doing great things, like when they would come to a school carnival and commit to vote, just vote period, not vote yes or no, but vote period. Then you get to sign your name on this big banner that says inspired to vote, and we'll choose two people who get lunch, their students get lunch with the principal. So there were great ideas like that brought to the table. And I think we would have had more had we been really able to have those ongoing check-ins throughout the time.
I think another thing is we would have, through those check-ins and other means, kept a better pulse of where things were at in the community. So we wouldn't have necessarily had to rely on that third-party survey and had more touch points to understand how is this spreading. I think of more connections with maybe our PTOs and what is the information you're hearing just from your friends and neighbors about this, or to go to the senior center and just spend an afternoon talking to some people as a check-in. And I think our superintendent was great about hitting the pavement and being everywhere to talk about this referendum. But I think for us as communicators to have spent some time also going and just kind of like, all right, now that you've been through this, what are you hearing, would have given us some of that data that we got through the survey as well. And that would have been really beneficial to have sooner.
So what I'm hearing is maybe more time in the day would be helpful.
That's always great. That's
certainly how I felt as well. Yeah, I love all of those ideas. And I really, really love the idea of kind of that school-based team, because to your point, each of the schools know how to best communicate with their communities. And I know, as I mentioned, in my communities, some of our communities are very different from one another. So that could look very different at each of the schools. But I love the idea of kind of having that school-based team that helps to push out the message in their own customized way, and then having kind of those incentives tied to it too. That's a great way to get everybody involved. I know in our district, when they had the prior administration going out for referendum, the staff was kind of told, don't talk about it at all with anyone. And so when this one came around, the one that I was a part of, honestly, our staff were kind of afraid to talk about it. And so we had to do some work there too to encourage them and let them know, you know, it's okay to talk about it. And we'll even give you these talking points so that you can talk about it. Because we know that that's, you know, when our families have questions, a lot of times they go to their teachers first. They go to the staff that they interact with on a day-to-day basis. And we wanted our staff to feel comfortable, however they felt about it as well, to talk about the facts about the referendum so people were at minimum informed on why we were needing to go out for it. So yeah, I just love the way that you were able to kind of get your schools involved in a way that allowed them to share the message too.
I'm glad you brought that up, Becca, because your staff members are not just communications ambassadors for you. They're often your voters. And mm-hmm. we knew from previous referendums that we had been sharing information with staff and then they didn't go vote. Mm-hmm. So that was really important to us this time around. And one of the ways that we thought outside the box, and that's one of our tips, think outside the box, is that on that voting day, which was a school day, of course, we made it possible for staff members to go vote by telling principals, if you have staff members that need to leave during the day to vote, let us know, and we will have staff members from the district office come and cover their classrooms and cover their jobs for that time so that they can have that ability to go vote, because we know that's a long day for people and they're commitments after school. And so we wanted to really make sure they were empowered to have that time in their day to go vote. And the other piece about being communications ambassadors and what you said about what we told staff felt like they couldn't talk about it. We said, yeah, staff members, please do talk about it to the extent that I think a great example is when our families came for conferences in the fall, we had one-page handouts that every teacher had, and they had English versions, and then they had versions in both Spanish and Somali, which are our district's two most spoken non-English languages. And they had those ready to go in the conference folder for the family. So when you went home then from the conference, you had gotten a reminder from your teachers to go vote. And then you had information right there in your child's folder to learn more about the referendum.
Yeah.
I think that is another learning that we had. And I appreciate Grace mentioning that because we were intentional about talking with our cultural liaisons about ways to engage with our Spanish and Somali communities most effectively and using some of the best practices that we have established in our district already. And our Somali cultural liaison, his name is Ahmed, went out into the community and knocked on doors at an apartment building and handed out flyers and talked with families because he knew that would be effective. And I mm-hmm. think if we had more time and if we were doing this over again, we would find even more strategies to reach those communities and better support them and make sure that people really got the information they needed in the places they needed it and the ways they needed it more often and more regularly. Because again, that 7 times 7 ways, if you're not home on the day we swung by your apartment, what are the other ways we're reaching you? And I think that that intentional eye to cultural inclusion, creating a sense of belonging among every member of our community is so important, something we had mind to and something that we can always do better in.
Yeah, I love that. And I know it's hard when my district specifically, we have over, I think it's 85 languages now. So it's definitely a task in itself. And one of the things we try to do is I think in our top, it was 5 to 10 languages. We just did our one pager that was like the full summary of what was going to be happening and why we were going out. It had our key messaging on there. And we wanted to make sure that that was something that we could pass out to as many people as possible. So that was one thing that we did too. But that's definitely some way that I think that we could grow in my district too. So I hear you there. We are going to wrap up today. Well, first I'll say, is there anything else that you want to share in regards to the referendum?
Sure, one last thing, which is one of the things that we did when we got that data that showed we weren't where we wanted to be in our referendum was to launch a concurrent campaign just about voting, not about the referendum, but just reminding people about voting in general. I mean, we called it Inspired to Vote, again, and tied to our district mission of inspiring each student every day. But that is something that we've committed to and are actively working on keeping going every year. We don't just talk about voting when there's a referendum on the ballot, but in Eden Prairie Schools, part of our mission statement is that we're creating, you know, students who contribute to our ever-changing world. And part of that is being good students and or good civic stewards. And so that good citizens. I don't know why it took me 3 times to get to the word citizens.
And good students. We want to be good students.
We want them to be good. I'm thinking about my kids really is what's going on right now. But we want to help, you know, raise good citizens. And so we talk about Inspired to Vote when there are elections happening, whether or not we're on the ballot. And that's something I think is really important of how do you just create this sense of pride and engagement in voting so that when you go to ask for somebody to vote on your thing, it's not, again, the first time they've heard you talk about voting.
Great point.
The other thing I would share is, and you heard Dirk say this earlier too, about the user experience and how important that is. That is so key to everything that we do on our team. And a referendum, when you are running it, is the biggest thing in your world. You're thinking about it constantly. You're talking about it constantly. That's not the case for your community. And so you might think, well, what the heck? We had this big community town hall and no one's here. Why not? This is so important. And the truth is, you have to make it interesting for them to learn more. And you have to, when they're there to learn more, make it a good user experience and think about what they are sacrificing to be there. So for our case, for example, when we did those community sessions, we provided dinner because it was over the dinner hour, and we provided childcare because we knew it was going to be hard for parents to sit there and listen to information about their taxes when their kids are tugging at them, right, to go home. Mm-hmm. So we really leaned on our staff members to help to provide that childcare. And then we also made sure there were interpreters there for our families who would prefer to receive the information in Spanish or Somali. So be thinking about how you are making this a real opportunity for your community members to engage, and that will help them be more interested in learning.
Love it. All great ideas. And I think that it, what's really helpful is it's not just referendum tips, right? All of these ideas that you guys have shared that you had incorporated into your campaign, I think can be used for any kind of campaign that you're doing, whether it is your strategic plan or just a generalized kind of overhaul of maybe your reputation of your district. There's so many different community engagement ideas that are just beneficial for the school district as a whole. So I really appreciate you all sharing everything about your referendum. We are going to wrap up the episode with a question that we ask in every episode. And that is for you both to share a story about an educator who has made an impact in your life.
For me, that's my 10th and unexpectedly 12th grade English teacher, Mrs. Healy. She and I had an interesting relationship. That's a really good Minnesota word to use for it. she is one of the best and most thoughtful and kind teachers I've ever had, and also held people to really high expectations. And I went through some really challenging times in my life in high school. And what I appreciated about Mrs. Healy is that she showed grace and compassion, and she didn't hold back on those high expectations and holding me accountable within her class. And so sometimes it was challenging because I felt like I couldn't manage it all. But that belief that you can do hard things in the middle of hard things is something that has really stuck with me and I think impacted me in a really deep way moving forward. And, you know, we got our second go at it senior year. I was a little bit better student and had a little bit less going on then. And I think it was better, but I think we were both a little bit waiting with bated breath to see how that went. But she is somebody who I think has been really influential and meaningful. And I appreciate that she could hold space for both of those realities that yes, life can happen. And yes, you can still be exceptional.
Love it.
I'm going to give a shout out to Mr. Tim Grandy, who was my AP literature teacher at Divine Savior Holy Angels High School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, I am a product of private school, lover of public school. I'm outed now. But he taught my mom when she went to that school, and she graduated from there in 1982, and he wrote her letter of recommendation for Notre Dame. So I already had that sort of sense of, you know, familial trust with him. And she was so excited for me to have him. And he was just a resoundingly inspirational educator who loved literature, would do things like standing on the desks and reading things out and saying, "Charlotte Bronte, you have blessed us with this quote." I mean, he would do things like that, that you just made you love him. And then at the end of our class, he took us up to the roof, and there were, I think, 13 girls in our class. And he took us up to the roof of the building holding balloons. This is not the most environmentally friendly thing. And he asked us to make a wish for our futures and then let go of the balloon, picturing what our futures would be. And he always encouraged us to keep our eyes fixed on the prizes yet to be won. And that has stuck with me ever since. And he inspired me as a lover of writing and a lover of reading, and also as a person. And I will always remember him for that.
I love it. I think that's my favorite question that we ask. And we ask everybody whether they are in school communications. We had a couple people who are not particularly communicators. My last interview, I had interviewed a teacher. And there is always, without fail, somebody that has made an impact on every person that we interview's life and everybody, I guess, just in the world's life. So it's always my favorite question. So I appreciate you sharing your stories on that one. And I just wanted to thank you again for both of you, Dirk and Grace, for joining us today for another episode of School PR Happy Hour. We appreciate you taking the time to chat with us, to share your knowledge, your experience of going through a referendum, which is a lot of times a scary word in the school communications group. And I think the way that you both broke it down and were able to share your experience was one that I think is, you know, going to be beneficial for everybody who tunes in.
Thanks so much, Becca, for having us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we are always here to answer questions, bat around some ideas, you can find our contact information in that Ensborough Gold Medallion submission.
Perfect. Well, thank you both so much and have a great day. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. We're getting close to the end of the school year, so I just want to wish you all a great end to the 23-24 school year and hope you all stay happy and healthy during this busy season. We do a lot for our schools at the end of the school year, and I just want to remind everyone to take care of yourself during this time too. Spend time with loved ones, sit and enjoy a cup of coffee, listen to a book on your way to work. Just make sure to do something this month that makes you happy and brings you joy. Happy almost summer, School PR. Thanks so much for learning alongside me today. Now let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.